For lighting the Advent wreath, the first candle was the candle of hope. And we focused on the story of Mary, how Mary had offered herself so beautifully to the Lord and in response to the good news of the angel, the crazy news, the frightening news on some level. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. So each week we've lit a candle, hope and peace and joy. And today the candle is love. And I want to focus on Joseph. Because Joseph also, in a sense, was at a crisis point. And he had a choice to make. Am I going to do this? He was a just man. Or am I going to do that? And I think, just like Joseph, we also in our lives today find ourselves at junctures, maybe on a daily basis. Am I going to walk into the narrative that God has written for me, or am I going to write my own story? God has such a beautiful narrative that he is writing for us, and he is gently and beautifully inviting us to come into that story, as the scripture says, for we are his workmanship, created for good work, which he has prepared in advance for us, that we might walk in that. Let us stand as we read the scripture that has already been read, but that we will never tire of, that we can read over and over and over again and be in wonder of. The story from Matthew, the first chapter, beginning in verse 18, where Matthew writes, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Please be seated. And this is the word of the Lord. Who is Joseph? Joseph the carpenter. Joseph, a man living in the town of Nazareth, probably with dreams for himself, maybe build a house, maybe have a nice business, get married, have some kids. A similar dream for most of us. Joseph was raised in a Jewish family. The scripture says that he was a son of David. In other words, that he could trace his lineage to King David all the way back, 1,000 years. He was a God-fearing man. He was a just man. He grew up in the Jewish faith, probably studied the scriptures like so many Jewish boys, memorizing scripture and understanding that God was at work in Israel. Now, we see that he's engaged to be married to a sweet hometown girl, and her name is Mary. Let's talk a little bit about marriage for a Jewish man at that time. We're talking 2,000 years ago in a Middle Eastern culture, And the scripture says that Mary is betrothed to Joseph. In other words, they're engaged. But from a Jewish perspective, this engagement was super, super serious. Okay, probably when Mary's mom and dad were approached by Joseph and there was a dowry discussed, there were probably conversations, I would guess, being a father of daughters myself, well, how will you care for my daughter? And you see, this betrothal time, this engagement time, was probably an opportunity for Joseph to prepare his home, to welcome his bride. You see that in other places in Scripture where there's this waiting time, and then the wedding, the day of the wedding comes, and the bride and his family, the groom and his family says, all the preparations have been made. The house is ready. I'm going to receive my bride and walk into the house holding her, so to speak. Well, that would have been one of the expectations I expect of Mary's parents. So Joseph is busy. Isn't it great that he's a carpenter, able to build his own home and prepare? And we don't know how long this betrothal period was, this engagement period, but sometime in this engagement period, Mary comes to Joseph and says, I've got some news. Now put yourself in Joseph's shoes just for a minute. And he's like, oh, Mary, what is it? I'm pregnant. Now, just imagine how he has to process that in a millisecond. It's cascading thoughts and emotions flowing in his heart. But in fairness to Mary, he says, well, how can this be? For we have not been together. Because that was one of the things about the betrothal period, the engagement period. While the husband-to-be prepared the place for the bride, they weren't sleeping together. They weren't living together. They were waiting for their wedding. They were waiting for the night of their wedding. And what a joyous day that would be, a day that you look forward to, the day that you anticipate. And all of that came crashing down in that moment for Joseph. Mary, how is this possible? Well, you see, I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Okay, talk to me about that. Well, I had this visitation from an angel. His name is Gabriel. And he told me that I was going to give birth to a little boy, and that we were supposed to call him Jesus, and that he would be a savior of Israel, and not just of Israel, but of the whole world. Okay, he's saying to himself, wondering all the time, this doesn't fit with my worldview. I don't know how old Joseph was at the time. Some popular movies depict Mary and Joseph as teenagers that were in love. I'm not really sure about that, at least for Joseph. Joseph might have been a little bit older in that culture. You saw that a lot, where the girl, the bride, was maybe a young teenager, but the man, the husband, was a little bit older. Well, and with that age comes a little bit of worldly wisdom. And he's like, Mary, this isn't fitting together for me. This is not reasonable. It's kind of irrational. So you have this visitation, and now you say you're pregnant, and I know that I'm not the father. So he doesn't believe Mary. And who would believe Mary? This is a fantastical story. This is crazy. This is outlandish. I suspect, as we put ourselves into the sandals, so to speak, of Brother Joseph, that he was deeply hurt in that moment. Wow, I had such dreams. And now, this girl has dashed them. She's pregnant, and I know I'm not the dad. Along with that hurt was maybe some anger. How could you let this happen to you? What on earth have you done? I can't believe this. Maybe there's a little pride in there. Like, I'm not going to let her get away with this. I am not going to be treated like this. This is not right. I deserve better. Then there was this small question of reputation. Can you imagine? Again, all of these thoughts and emotions just cascading into his mind in a moment. What are people going to say? Soon enough, people are going to notice that Mary is pregnant, and every one of them is going to assume that I'm the father. And tongues are going to wag, and gossip is going to be spread, and I have a reputation to uphold. Joseph was at a crossroads. Logically, he couldn't believe what Mary was saying. Maybe he wanted to, but it was irrational. Then you add on top of that all of these emotions, anger and a sense of betrayal and wanting to protect your reputation and hurt and woundedness. And as he thinks about all these things, he makes a decision. He decides that he's going to break off the engagement. And because he's a just man, he's going to do that quietly. Listen, he could have kicked up a huge stink. The scripture says that he was sensitive to Mary's situation, and he did not want to shame her publicly. And listen, it's not just a matter of, oh, how embarrassing, oops, we're pregnant, can we fix this? You do understand that in this culture, at this time, a woman that was found to be pregnant outside of wedlock, and the husband says, not me, he would be believed. And sadly, according to their Jewish custom, a woman like that could be dragged out of her community and stoned to death. This is serious stuff. It's not just a matter of reputation. This is a matter of Mary's life is on the line. And as he's pondering these things, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to have to divorce her. I'm going to have to break off the engagement. And I don't want to embarrass her, because after all, I do love her. And I want to do right by her, even if she has not done right by me. And the scripture says that while he's thinking about this, kind of come to his decision, yeah, this is the fork in the road, this is the path that I'm going to take, he has a dream. He falls asleep. Who knows? He might be laying in bed pondering these things at night. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? If I do this, then this will happen on this scenario and that scenario. And he falls asleep, and he has a dream. And in that dream, an angel appears to him. It's a great story. We've read it. We know it. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Don't break off this engagement. Step it up and step up. Because that which is conceived in Mary's womb is from the Lord. Holy. The Holy Spirit did that. Now, just imagine, as he's dreaming this, he's hearing that voice from the angel, and he's saying, wow, that corroborates the story of my fiance. She said that. And also, she mentioned the name of the baby. It should be Jesus. And this angel is saying, and you will call him Jesus. Because he is going to save his people. And furthermore, and here's something that I think is really important. Aside from the fact you see an angel in your dream, that's a pretty significant experience, right? If you're kind of at the fork of the road, you're trying to make a decision, that would weigh pretty heavily in terms of, I'm going to go in this direction. But we don't live just simply by our feelings as Christians, do we? As followers of God. Scripture is our ultimate standard. What does the scripture say? Well, and here's the beautiful thing. The angel says, essentially, to Joseph, Joseph, you know the word of the Lord. More than 800 years ago, the Holy Spirit, inspiring the prophet Isaiah, said, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Heavenly, Prince of Peace. And there will be no end to his reign and his government. He is God with us. Emmanuel. For a virgin shall conceive. That's what the scripture said 800 years ago. For a virgin shall conceive. One time in all of history, and the angel is drawing Joseph's attention to the word of the Lord. I love that, because that to me would be the clincher. Okay, it's great to have an angel speaking to you, but now here's a man who loves the word of the Lord, who has studied from his youth the scripture and probably had memorized huge portions of it, certainly the Torah. And now this angel was saying, believe Mary and believe me, because you can believe in the scriptures. A virgin shall conceive. That's Mary. She's not telling you a lie. She's not making up a story. This is the real deal. And don't be afraid to enter into this narrative, into this beautiful story that God is writing for Mary, for you, and indeed for the whole world. And he wakes up and he goes to Mary and he says, we're getting married. He's obedient to the story. He's obedient to God's invitation for him to be part of this beautiful redemption story. God is inviting us to be part of his beautiful story as well, the narrative that he's writing for our lives. But he is so gentle and he is so loving. He's not forcing us. He's inviting us. He's given us a choice. Inviting us to invite Christ into our lives. Just as Joseph, by receiving Mary, also invited Christ into his life. Now, there are lots of reasons why we would say, no, I'm not interested in that narrative because I want to be the master of my own destiny. I want to write my own story. Thank you very much, God. I'm good. And I have a question for you today. Because usually when we decide to write our own stories, there's something underneath that. Maybe it's our woundedness. Maybe we've been hurt in the past. Maybe it's our pride. I'm the captain of my own ship. Maybe it's unbelief. Just like Joseph couldn't believe what Mary was saying. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe you have questions in your life. God, I don't know. You're inviting me into this story and I'm afraid. I don't want to take the plunge. I'm worried. Because, yeah, God is inviting us into this beautiful story of love, but there is sacrifice involved. Joseph had to make some sacrifices. Listen, the moment that he obediently obeyed the voice of the Lord, he was basically letting the whole community know, I don't care what you think. Yeah, sure, Mary's pregnant, and she's going to have a baby, and you guys will all be talking about it. I'm cool with that. He suffered the loss of his reputation, no doubt, as a result of that. Because in marrying Mary, he was accepting responsibility for that. In entering into this beautiful story that God was writing, Joseph was playing a really, really important part. Think about this. Joseph was now giving Mary and the baby that would be born into their family social standing. Protection. And not just from the other people in the community, but think about this. This is amazing. Joseph, sometime afterwards, after the Magi visit, gets another dream, and in it the Lord says through an angel, you have to flee because Herod is after you and he wants to kill Jesus. Where does he flee to? All the way to Egypt. I would dare say, and this is a little bit of speculation, but if Mary was a single mom having a baby, she might not have made that choice. She's like, you know what, I'm just going to hide here in Bethlehem. But the Lord knew that that was not a safe place, because Herod was an extremely powerful man, and he had spies all around. It just wouldn't be safe. What had to happen was they needed to physically remove themselves from that entire country. They became refugees. They fled all the way to the land of Egypt, and that was a safe place for them to be. Again, I would dare say the kind of strength that Joseph was bringing to the table decisively as a man probably saved Mary and the baby Jesus. This was God's beautiful intention to have Joseph protect Mary and the Christ child. Not just by kind of giving them legal cover, but also when decisions needed to be made, they were made. And they fled, and that saved Jesus. Now, that's a beautiful thing. Again, it's God's story that he's writing for us. And we have daily, I think, this choice where we are going to either join God in the narrative that he's writing for us, the story, the plan, or we can do it our way. In Jeremiah 29, the Lord tells the people of Israel, I know the plans that I have for you, plans for good and not for ill, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. That is our loving God. And that is his heart toward us in Christ. God has loved us. Today, the theme is the love candle. Joseph loves his Lord and loves Mary and loves Jesus by faithfully walking in that. That plan that God, in John 3:16, said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, in the incarnation, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. 1 John 3, verse 16 is a similar theme. And this is how we know that God has loved us. He gave himself for us. And we ought also to give ourselves for our brothers. Do you understand that kind of love that Joseph bestowed upon Mary was that kind of living out of the reality of the life that he had been given. And I want to challenge each and every one of us today, as we enter into the story that God has written for our lives, he wants us to live our lives selflessly for him and selflessly toward one another, selflessly toward the spouse that God has given to you, to be willing to lay your life down for your husband or for your wife, to lay your life down and your rights down, so to speak, to step away from your woundedness and your hurt and your pride and your social standing and all the things that you would claim would be reasons why you should write your own story rather than you enter into the story that God is inviting you to be part of. I don't know where you are in your life today. I don't know what wound or what unbelief or what pain or what hurt or what pride or what reputation that you want to protect. But just like Moses, just like Joseph, I want to encourage you to let go of that and receive God's grace and mercy in your life. You will join him. And as I said earlier in the service, we are his workmanship, created for good work that he has prepared in advance for us to do. You understand God has all sorts of beautiful things for us to do, and all we need is eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts filled with gratitude that are ready with feet to walk into that truth. And so let us do that today, and let us be reminded of that, especially during this Christmas season. Christ came to give us life, and that abundantly. Amen.